Let's have the roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coon?
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next, we have environmental health records.
Yes, thank you. We've been working with the health department probably for the last year on this project. It's a way for the health department to digitize all the records for Emmett County. If I'm not mistaken, there's well over 100,000 records that they'd like to digitize. What that does to our community is provide 24 hours, 7 days a week access to all the records. And Dan's here if you want to give a quick update on that.
Yeah, sure. Just a little background. We actually submitted a proposal to all the counties within our jurisdiction back in August of 2021 as an ARPA project, because counties were asking, you know, the community, you know, give us your ideas, right? So we submitted an idea. And it's actually something that when I was in Grand Traverse County as the environmental health director, I digitized all the records there, and I saw the huge benefit that provided. It's a great benefit both ways, not only for the staff, it creates a lot of efficiencies. You can sit at your computer and pull up records while you're working on a permit. Somebody calls you on the phone and has questions about a property. I mean, you type in the address and pull it right up. I mean, it's very efficient. And also, just with the number of requests that we get on a daily basis for records. And we get requests from homeowners, septage pumpers, contractors, real estate agents, and it takes a significant amount of time for our staff to, you know, go find those records and then get back to the people that are asking for them. So when I was in Grand Traverse County, we did a time study, and we figured it took about 15 minutes for every records, 10 to 15 minutes on average for every record search, because let's just face it, our records right now, they're paper, they're in filing cabinets, they're organized by township and section. So if you can imagine, like a large township in Emmett County is pretty thick, right? So you have to thumb through it, you know, try to find the paper copy, and then, you know, scan it, send it to the person, email, all that stuff, where you could just, with this type of system, you can just pull it right up and you're good to go. So that's the benefit for our staff, but there's also a huge benefit for the public with this type of project once we get to the third phase. As you notice in this, if you've read this proposal, there's really three phases, but the third phase is a public portal. So anybody, you know, drinking coffee in the morning in their robe can, you know, type in an address, and if we have the record, it'll pop up, and they can see everything they need to see. You know, if they have questions about their own property, or maybe it's a contractor, you know, trying to look at a job, or a septage pumper that's trying to get an idea of how big the tanks are at a property, so they know, you know, can do some planning.
Or a piece of property you're looking to buy.
Or a piece of property you're looking to buy, yeah. Realtors love it. You know, they really use it. So, and it's just, you know, as, you know, we're scanning a lot of records in government at the county level, at the township level. And, you know, another benefit of it is it protects the record, right? So, you know, God forbid you have some natural disaster or fire. If you have all paper records, everything's gone, right? So you digitize them, it preserves those records into perpetuity. So there is a lot of benefits to it. You know, I've sent proposals out to all the counties. This was a conversation that happened at the Board of Health because, you know, just kind of giving an update on where this was at and some questions coming from some of our Board of Health members. So at that, you know, meeting, I believe, you know, basically we were charged with kind of updating the numbers. Dave and I had a conversation, you know, sent him updated numbers for that. We updated the numbers for everybody because it's, you know, things are changed in 2023. One of the big updates is redaction. In our original proposal, we had a legal opinion that you had to redact all the records for permits, right? Since then, we've gotten another legal opinion says you don't. Well, I've also, you know, put out on our listserv and asked across the state, you know, who is redacting those records, who's not. More are not than are. There are some that are. But it's kind of like one of those things, you know, if you want five different opinions, you ask five different attorneys, right? So, but I feel confident with a permit. You know, the argument was is that there's not a reasonable expectation of privacy when you're filling out a permit application, you know, putting your name and contact info out there. So, and there's not any other, you know, financial information or anything like that. It was really just, do we need to redact phone numbers and emails? And the opinion from our attorney is that we do not. So that makes it a much more, it made it cheaper. It would have been a lot more if we would have had to redo these numbers with redaction based on, you know, today's job market and what it would cost. Probably the biggest part of the project, you know, the scanning phase is large. $17,289 is the estimate. And the scanning company said that they would honor that number through September 30th, which that's a two-year-old number. You know, I was pretty actually surprised by them telling me that, but I was happy. And then phase two, the document organization part of that is really where most of the work is, because you gotta, once you get those records scanned in, you get them into the document managing software, and then you have to go through them and look at, I mean, we have what, records going back to
the 70s.
Probably. Yeah, early 70s, yep. Late 60s, and some of them don't have the best information on them. I mean, so you got to kind of use a lot of resources to try to figure out, you know, what that record, what property is attached to that record. So essentially, you know, that's the gist of it.
Back in 2022, we had set aside, the previous board had set aside money in the ARPA funding for community-type programs. We looked at this program, and we've really probably evaluated for this about the last year. We think there's a direct benefit to the residents of Emmett County. We're going through the same process in Emmett County, digitizing all of our records. It is a lengthy and expensive process to go through, but the end result, as Dan mentioned, for staff, for the public, is that it's that access to those records. And we would recommend that you support this project moving forward. And as Dan mentioned, we would be the first county, and hopefully the other counties would come along, but after they can wait till we're done first, and then they can come on board. So
I think the other counties would be jealous, honestly. But.
So do we have any other questions for Dan or Jeremy? Thank you.
I'm sorry, and Jeremy Fruk is our environmental director. So.
Thank you, Jeremy and Dan. So let's have the motion.
I'll make the motion. I move that the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution to the Health Department of Northwest Michigan for the Environmental Health Record Digitization Project and authorize the county administrator to sign all necessary documents.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Of that how much of that $500,000 are you proposing to use on this?
The number on that is
59,000 for it. That's startup cost.
That's the cost, and then part of the match that we would require is the yearly maintenance, which the health department will cover that cost. That is our match. So it's $59,485.
Yes. I love it when we're leaders than followers.
And so the annual cost, that would be the
$5,320. It's not our cost. That would be the cost to the health department.
Okay.
That's for the software annual,
and the maintenance.
Yeah, the annual cost for having laser fiches and software.
You got that in the budget, right?
Yes.
Okay. Of course you do, Shannon.
Well, through that pending evil. Your decision tonight, of course.
Yeah, okay. You're ready for this.
Any other questions or comments? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lockbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Now we have the sheriff Secondary Road Patrol grant.
Yes, thank you. This is a program that the Sheriff's Department has been participating in since 1978. And this provides funding for patrols on secondary roads. Well, what a secondary road is anything that doesn't have an M in front of it. So majority of Emmett County roads would fall into this. This provides funding for one of our deputies and involved in traffic crashes, traffic enforcement, and prevention. This is a grant that we've been getting every year to help offset our costs in our Sheriff's Department.
Thank you. Looking for the motion.
Chair, I move that the board approve the grant funding from the State of Michigan for Secondary Road Patrol for use as stated in the attached grant request and authorize the chairman of the board and the county administrator to sign all necessary documents.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnott?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next, we have Friend of the Court CRP grant.
This is funding that we receive and we renew every 5 years. This basically pays three quarters of the operation of the Friends of the Courts. If you see the breakdown throughout the year, about $700,000, just a little over $700,000 a year. If you recall, we also did this for the prosecutor's office. We received money, and that will be the next thing on the agenda. But this provides funding for our operations in our courts, just under $6 million, $5,896,000.
Thank you. Looking for the motion.
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve agreement of CSF0C24-24001. 2024 Title 4D Cooperative Reimbursement Program for the Friend of the Court beginning 10-1-23 through 9-30-28 in the amount of $5,896,232.08 and authorize the board chair to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ginnott?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have prosecuting attorney.
Yeah, this was the grant that we brought to you on June 15th, and it was awarded. There were some concerns in the grant language and some of the requirements in there about doing a yearly audit. And I know that our court administrators throughout the state were very concerned about that, the added costs and the time constraints on that. Since this was signed and approved, they've taken that requirement out, which is a real benefit for us, and it was just an additional step that we need to do, another unfunded mandate. I'm happy to report that that was removed, and that's the only thing that was removed from this. So there was a revised language, and it pulled that requirement out. So this is the same contract, same dollar amount, just with that stipulation pulled out.
Okay, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the 2024 Title 4D Cooperative Reimbursement Program for the prosecutor's office beginning 10-1-23 to 9-30-28. In the amount of $1,298,146.69, and authorize the board chair to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner
Ginnott? Yes. Motion passes. Up next, we have independent contract for appraisal service.
Yes, thank you. Currently, in our equalization and GIS department, we have a contract with a company to do commercial industrial property appraisals. When we switched directors and brought a new director in, the current company that was doing this decided that they wanted to no longer provide a service for us or renegotiate a current contract. And that's not a part of what this contract was or their contract was. Since then, they've asked to terminate their contracts, which we did, found another company to come in and do those important appraisals for us. So tonight before you, we have a contract to work with Dave and Jill Brown, who do these professional services for other counties. So this is replacing MAPS, who is currently or was doing it for us, with a new company so we can continue in our process and follow the deadlines that we have.
Thank you, Dave. We have the motion, please.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the attached independent contract for appraisal services between Emmett County and David and Jill Brown, not to exceed $39,500, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call. Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have Heritage Village Overflow Parking.
Yes, we've had an agreement with Heritage Village and the city, or the Village of Mackinac, and the Historical Society for a number of years, dating back to 2018. Any time that there's an event going on at Dark Sky Park, we have overflow parking and issues at that parking lot. We currently have about 58 parking spots. If there's a clear night, we fill that up, and currently we just don't have enough parking on site. So they park at the Heritage Village and then walk the mile into the property. The agreement basically is allow us to continue to do that. As long as we continue to mow the property, provide a staff person, which we do currently, lock the portable bathroom up when we're done at the end of the night, and just make sure the property is clean. This is an agreement that we need to continue because we have no other place until we do the expansion. Hopefully we'll start that next year of parking at the Dark Sky Park. So this is just an ongoing agreement that we want to keep moving forward.
Thank you, Dave. Could we have the motion, please?
Chair, I move that the board approve the memorandum of understanding regarding the parking space at Heritage Village in Mackinac City and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have the licensing agreement between Emmett County and the state of Michigan.
Yes, thank you. We've been working with EGLE, the Department of Energy, Great Lakes, and Energy for a number of years on Pelston and the challenges that we face in Pelston groundwater. One of the things that we're looking for as we continue to address the situation there is continue doing testing. EGLE has approached us, and we're working with them in the village of Pelston, and they want to do 5 sampling locations on Emmett County's property. We work with the attorneys to develop an agreement. They're going to come in, do the testing, then clean up and be off the site. It's a benefit to us, and it's a benefit to the residents because this is helping us establish whatever future activities or improvements that we're going to do up there for the drinking water. So this is a process that needs to continue. We've done a ton of monitoring wells up there, and this just is targeting some areas that potentially would be beneficial for the village.
Thank you, Dave. Can we have the motion?
I move that the board approve the license agreement between Emmett County and the state of Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy to allow access to the right to conduct drilling and sampling under the terms and conditions of this license to the tax parcel ID numbers 10-10-33-100-001, 10-10-22-300-002, 10-10-22-300-10, 10-10-21-300-003, and 10-10-21-300-005.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofton?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes. Motion passes. We have Michigan Department of Transportation next.
Yes, back in July of 2023, we approved entering an agreement with FAA to develop the specifications and bid out the rotary mower and the runway sweeper. Well, the way FAA works is they partner with the state, and then the state, the money goes through the state, and we need now to have an agreement to work with the state, and they flow the money through MDOT. So we've approved the funding. Now the funding, we need to do the same type of an agreement with MDOT to allow the money to come from the feds to MDOT, then eventually to Emmett County.
Thank you. Could we have the motion, please?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair. I move that the board approve the attached contract number 2023-0639 between the Michigan Department of Transportation and the County of Emmett to develop bid specifications and to bid a rotary plow truck and a runway sweeper truck in the amount of $35,381. And authorize the county administrator to sign the grant award letter on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have Bay Bluffs.
Bay Bluffs, as you know, that there was a millage dollar set aside, and that was based on a study that we had done on the infrastructure of Bay Bluffs and the facility there. And one of the things that was highlighted was, we call it the boiler room, which has many of the necessary pieces of equipment in there to, one, provide water and also heat and air and boilers throughout the system. It is outdated, not functioning right. We spent a lot of money trying to maintain that system. We have hired an engineering firm to come in and do the evaluation and help write bid specs for us. They've done that. We've put it on the street. We've bid that out. It is a big proposal. It's a big investment in that facility, but it's one that's well needed. They have put the bid out, worked with the consultant to get a recommendation, and before you tonight is the recommendations for Ballard Plumbing and Heating in an award amount of $436,999.
$990.
Did I say 99?
That's right. Thank you, Dave. Could we have the motion, please?
I move that the board award the bid to Ballard's Plumbing and Heating to complete the Bay Bluffs Boiler Room project in the amount of $436,990, pending a suitable contract to be determined by civil counsel and the administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think that eventually this board should tackle this question of Bay Bluffs and the amount of money that's being lost there. Tonight it's almost $500,000. And actually, I would like to put it on the ballot for next year for the taxpayers to decide if they want to continue to support this or possibly sell it to a private enterprise.
So isn't this money that's already...
This is millage dollars that were already approved.
Already approved, yeah.
This was the millage that we went out for capital improvement for that facility.
Yeah.
It does not interfere with the general operating funds
right.
of the facility.
So, thank you. Any other discussion? Any questions?
Just curious, are these for some of the wings and stuff that are already occupied, or are these still improvements?
For the whole facility.
For the whole facility.
Correct.
how will that, I'm assuming they have a plan for accommodating, you know, patients and new and incoming patients, because that is the goal of the board, is to try to be able to incorporate enough staff to increase the patient count there so they can be generating some more revenue.
Yep. We're just talking about in the boiler room right now.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Have you heard?
You know, we certainly can have them come in and give an update on what they're doing. I do know that they are, their goal is to increase users in the facility or patients in the facility. That's the way it stays afloat. They cannot continue to operate the way they are. And I think that...
Yeah, I truly understand that, but I just was curious. This is a large project.
It's a large project. Yeah. But like this facility, those infrastructure needs need to be completed no matter what the use of that facility.
The money's there. I was just curious. That's
right.
We have to take care of our property.
In our commitment, it is our facility, and it is our responsibility to maintain the facility, and that's why we did the study originally to look at that, the long-term capital needs, and that's what was established. This is a part of those needs and the function and the operation of that building.
Sure.
As far as the operation of patients and that, that's through the Bay Bluffs Board. We're the landlords.
Chair,
yes.
We've, you know, a resource for commissioners as well is to go back in the minutes if you have a question about something. We had extensive conversations about Bay Bluffs a few years ago and about the direction and what we're going to do. And what that's how we came up with the millage, actually. And we had experts in here telling us the pros and cons and whether we needed to go private or not, and what the restrictions were, deed restrictions on the land that the building sits on. There's a lot of history that you could go through. Just you're going to have to go back in the minutes and read.
You
know,
yeah,
we've been over these grounds many times.
And I think this will be a topic at a future meeting. We'll definitely be coming back to this board to have some further discussion on the future.
Okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Loeffel?
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gittin?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next up, we have National Opioid.
Yes, we are part of the opioid settlement agreements and receiving money. This is another settlement that was done with Walgreens. So, as you recall, we set up the fund where these settlement dollars come in. We're establishing the guidelines how that money will go out to the community. We've had conversations with the health department, drug court, and some other opportunities to utilize this funding to put it back into the community. This is just allowing us to go to the next settlement, and there'll be more in the future. This one is Walgreens, and as soon as we get dollar amounts for that, we'll let you know what kind of funding is going to come to the county, but we've already established the fund. That money can only be used for opiate-type programming, and there's very specific guidelines, and that's why we've set the fund up.
Thank you. Could we have the motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the attached resolution of the Emmett County Board of Commissioners to participate in the Walgreens National Opiate Litigation Settlement, authorize the county administrator to consent to the terms of the settlement and take such further action as is necessary to receive the settlement funds.
Second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Gittin?
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffel?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner
Koontz? Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next, we have appointments. And the first one is the Sanitary Code Board of Appeals appointment.
Yes, Chair, I don't know if you want to discuss or run down, but there was a resignation last month, and you have two applications there. Both were previous applicants when you did the last appointment, so they both are still interested.
So you have one opening. Two candidates.
One opening and two candidates.
Mr. Chair, I know there's some concerns discussed about one of the candidates, and I would ask that this be pulled from the agenda and brought back after discussion about that applicant.
Don't we have two applicants?
We have two applicants, but we have a question about one of them.
Can you nominate the other one?
I'd support that.
You support the motion?
I support his motion, yes.
I think we need a motion first.
Motion is to pull this from the agenda for tonight.
Did you get that as a motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
And who seconded?
I did.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Motion passes. Up next, we have the Fair Board, Fair Advisory Board.
That is Pam Gibson. She is up for reappointment, and she's the only applicant.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reappoint Pam Gibson.
All right. We have a motion and a second to reappoint Pam. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign? Motion passes. Next, we have the Advisory Committee on Aging.
Yes, Chair. There has been an opening on that committee for quite a while, probably at least a year. We now have four applicants for that seat, and they are listed there on the agenda for you.
How many openings?
One opening.
One opening.
Yep.
Okay.
I move that we appoint Mary Netsky to that position.
We have a motion and a second for Mary Neshke. And a second. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Motion passes. And the next one is the Veterans Affairs Committee.
I move that we appoint Gordy Berlin to that position.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for Gordy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. Come on, computer. And the Historical Committee?
Yeah, for the Historical Commission, there are three reappointments due on that board. I have not received the applications yet, so we'll have to do that next month. I know that Frank Hawthorne will not be reapplying, but just waiting on those applications.
Okay, so that will wait until they come in. Sorry, I'm having problems with this computer.
No bid, remember?
Mine crashed yesterday, and they gave me a loaner, and the loaner is asking for updating programs. So any communications? Okay, up next is committee reports. Matt, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'll start. Thank you. Dave, would you like to talk before I give my report?
Thank you, Matt. I will be giving part of the Brownfield Authority report, and it's my sadness to report that our chairman, Sean Polian, passed away unexpectedly this past weekend. His funeral will be tomorrow. Sean was very active on the Brownfield Authority, coached both women, girls and boys basketball at the high school. Director of the community, the foundation at North Central College, and he'll be greatly missed by us all here in Petoskey and Emmett County. And I would ask for a moment of silence for Sean. Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah, so I'd like to add that it was a pleasure to work with Sean on the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority. He was an excellent chairman, and I'm going to greatly miss him. The Brownfield Redevelopment Authority met on July 25th, And it was a pleasure to meet our new Brownfield Redevelopment appointee, Parker Fairbairn. The Brownfield Redevelopment Authority heard updates on the Michigan Maple Block Project. A blight elimination grant from the State Land Bank Authority has been approved to cover most of the asbestos abatement. $1 million grant and a $1 million loan has been secured through the city from Eagle to cover environmental issues. Half of the project will target tenants earning between 50 and 120% of the area media income. And consultant Mac McClellan indicated that demolition is likely to begin before the end of this year. The Brownfield Redevelopment Authority conducted a detailed review of the request for proposal for our consulting services. And we received communications regarding the lofts at Lumber Square. Those communications are lengthy and available for public review on the website. So, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My reports are very short tonight because I've had to miss a few meetings for family issues. But on July 24th, the Road Commission had three items on the agenda. The board received an update regarding the Atkins Road project and the final items to finish that project, and I think we heard today that the project is finished, didn't we? Under new business, the board discussed and recommended to the commissioners, which we've already addressed, the relocation of the North Country National Scenic Trail along county owned property, and they approved a letter of support for the Pleasant View Township grant that this board has also sent a letter of support for. At today's meeting, the board held a public hearing on old U.S. 31, which for a proposal to return it to gravel for a section starting at old U.S. 31, starting 1,150 feet south of U.S. 31 to Camp Daggett Road. In the airport committee meeting on July 25th, we approved a hangar lease for a new plane. The board also received an update regarding the lead copper water issue, which seems to be resolved but is being monitored. And the one capital project purchase we had was recommending 13 radios for replacement and a new runway inspection truck. My report.
Okay, my report, DPW, we met August 3rd. The tire grant, $10,000 DNR tire grant, 4,000 tires were collected and they used up that entire grant. The DPW is looking at purchasing a new baler and are currently looking at two models. Part 115 planning is continuing with near future appointment of 11-person board appointed by the county board to oversee the material management plan. As far as the TAC committee, we met August 10th. The two remaining bidders are being vetted for the new TSSI system. That's the computer dispatch system. And Emmett County and Charlevoix County Sheriff officials voiced concerns that the process is not including more vendors, that they should be included. Criminal justice information system changes are being implemented by the FBI. Local school districts can purchase safety radios that now alert CCE directly, and staff will be working with those schools to purchase the when they purchase those radios. As far as the fairgrounds, they gave us a little update. The 4-H show starts on August 19th. The carnival rides start on the 22nd, and also the grandstand event starting at that time with cornhole. August 23rd is the country concert, and August 24th, 25th is the Monster Truck Show, and the 26th is autocross. That is my report.
Thank you, Brian.
Who wants to be next?
It's in the grandstand area, and I was just informed today we have 70 teams so far. Last year we had 80, so we're hoping we're going to reach that number. You're perfect.
He wants to be my teammate. I don't have a whole lot to do tonight, thanks to Dave and Brian. But I attended on July 26th. Attended the quarterly meeting of the Transit Committee in Sheboygan. It started at 9 a.m. There was no public comments. We moved to financial reports and ridership numbers. The budget is on track to a surplus this year, even though it's going to be a small one. The budget is still being supported by state tax dollars through MDOT, so there will be no local tax dollars requested by them at this time. Ridership is up 500 riders this quarter over last year. And the rider count was up over 100 from last quarter. There's no old or new business meeting, so the meeting was adjourned at 9:20. The road commission meetings were already covered. The Board of Health meeting on August the 1st started at 10 a.m. where we approved the agenda for the meeting, approved the minutes of the last meeting, and heard various reports from the department heads. Of note was director report from Dan Farrell, reported on a workforce development survey that noted that the largest number of employees have worked less than 5 years for the health department. Noting that training and retention strategies are of importance to them. He also noted, brought our attention to an issue with Torch Lake Township where they voted on a new ordinance regarding septic system evaluations which will have an impact on HDNW, causing the need to hire more inspectors. He also noted that the state also approved an $80.8 billion for local health departments, but yet for infrastructure needs and staff recruitment. We're still waiting to hear what the local health department's share of that will be. Next year's budget work starts on the 8th of December. That's all I have. Bay Bluffs was scheduled meeting for the day. They postponed until next Thursday.
Guess I'm next in line, Chair. So on August 10th, the Planning Commission regular meeting was held. It was a long meeting. We had a lot of things on the docket. We approved a rezone PUD for Johnson Oil Company of Gaylord in Lanson on M68. We approved a special use permit for a winery in Carp Lake Township. We approved a special use permit for a gentleman for a home-based business. Actually, yeah, I think so. It's a home-based business. It doesn't say it on here, but I believe I remember that. We approved a special use permit for ice cream / restaurant M68 in Goldfield Township. We approved a special use permit for an accessory building without a main use in Littlefield Township. We had one docket item help put on hold by the request of the applicant. And we approved a drive-through bank on US 31 in Bear Creek Township. We had a lot of discussion about which one was the one we had, Chuck, we had a long discussion on?
Johnson Oil Company of Gaylord. I thought you said that was approved, but according to my records here, we either postponed that or denied that outright after discussion after over 2 hours.
Okay, I thought I had. I put it. Yeah, that one, both the applicants, or both the sides brought their lawyers to the room, which made the meeting last a lot longer. Wound up turning into almost a court battle in this room. It got a little bit strange, but got pulled back around. Okay. Announcement about the fair. Veterans Office will have a tent at the fair, or say a booth. So say hi to them. You're there. My MAC committees are on summer recess. The Northern Michigan Counties meeting is next Monday, and Land Bank's next week too. So I'm light on reports tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Chuck?
I do have one comment on that Planning Commission meeting. A few nights ago on August 10th. Neil's already covered that well, but I do have a concern about the way we're conducting those meetings. The chairman is not like you. If he's against a case, he interrupts the applicant during their opening presentation, and he raises his voice, he gets red in the face. And when Johnson Oil was trying to present their case, he interrupted them several times. And I don't think we should be treating the public that way. And if this practice continues, I will plan on making an objection to that, the way that's being conducted. And I hope Neil and Tammy Dornberg, who's not here tonight, I hope they'll support me on that. And then the other board is good news. The Paradise Lake Improvement Board from Carp Lake, they conducted a second survey of Paradise Lake on August 2nd of this year. And a map was displayed of the findings from that survey. And we have no more milfoil weed in Emmett County to treat. The only treatable areas of that still have milfoil weed is in Sheboygan County, and which is outside our treatable jurisdiction. And Restorative Lake Services, who's working for that board, stated that Paradise Lake is very healthy, containing 20 native species of plants, and they recommended continuing on our present course of action. And again, he recommended budgeting 1.5 times our treatment costs from this year, $52,000. And one idea I had was possibly our administrator, Dave, could speak to the administrator in Sheboygan County. I know his first name was Jeff. I'm drawing a blank on his last name, but Larson. Okay, Jeff Larson. I'm hoping maybe just as a friendly phone call, or maybe connecting with him somehow and asking them maybe possibly if they would consider treating the Sheboygan County. That's the only milfoil left in Paradise Lake. And the annual budget was adopted of $97,600. And their next business meeting is Wednesday, November 8th, this fall. And that's it.
Thank you, Chuck.
You're welcome.
So, I attended a Sanitary Board of Appeals an appeal up on Cecil Bay, and we viewed the property and went over the measurements and the guidelines and discussed the depth of the water level, and we saw they had sunk pipes down in the ground, 4-inch pipes down in the ground, so that we could see the level of the water, and the water was monitored, and the health department disapproved the property, and then all of these tests were done, and it came to the Board of Appeals, and the Board of Appeals passed it because of the design and the engineering and everything, and the engineer was there to give his take on it and said that, yes, he could make it fit that property. So it wasn't going to be a square one. It was going to have to make a little angle and whatnot. So anyway, that passed, and that was up in Mackinac. And Don already talked about the Board of Health meeting. Before that, we had an amendment to talk about at 9 o'clock at the health department for the bill pay meeting process, and we passed that. And then we had the regular meeting. So then I went to the Board of Health planning meeting on the 10th, and we had two grants come before us, and there was a motion but no second, so both grants died on the table, and that was the end of that meeting. On the 10th, we also had a TAC meeting that Brian reported on, and let's see here. On the 15th, I had a Board of Health bill pay meeting, and we approved all the bills and so that they could pay them. And on the 16th, yesterday, I had a CCE 911 meeting, and we discussed quite a bit about what went on at the TAC meeting and talking about bringing the other bidders back in line and whatnot, and quite a lot of discussion on which way to go, and not everybody was there, but the ones that were bringing the problems up or the questions up weren't there, and so other people stuck up for them. And anyway, we turned out that we have a plan. We have hired people to run the plan, and we are in the process of the plan, so we're going to go forward with the plan. No changes at this time. And that's my report. Up next is public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step up.
I have a public comment I'd like to make. It says, I'm going to read from the Code of Ethics of Emmett County. It says, the Code of Ethics for Emmett County Commissioners expresses standards of ethical conduct expected for members of the Board of Commissioners. County commissioners themselves have the primary responsibility to ensure that they understand and meet the ethical standards expressed in this Code of Ethics, and that the public can continue to have full confidence in the integrity of government. All county commissioners have a responsibility to act when they learn of actions of another county commissioner that appear to be in violation of the Code of Ethics. The Board of Commissioners may impose sanctions on county commissioners whose conduct does not comply with the county's ethical standards. Sanctions may include reprimand, formal censure, loss of committee assignment. We had a clear violation of ethics. Mr. Ginnup admitted to it and said that he would continue to violate our Code of Ethics, and I would challenge the rest of the commissioners sitting here today to have the courage to live by our own standards and to take action on this incident. So, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Anybody else wishing to step up?
My name is Mary Martinchuk. I'm from Resort Township. First, I would like to, unfortunately, the health department staff have mostly left, but I would like to extend my appreciation to all of them for a positive annual report with a lot of good work done in 2022. Work done with a less than supportive Board of Health. Next, I support Mr. Kuntz's suggestion for the current chair to resign from the Board of Health. I can't understand why any of you would want to participate in a board of this importance when you don't support the mandates and programs that benefit all residents, including children. Over and over, we see denial of grants that would help children and citizens in our communities, and I am thoroughly disgusted with the continued denial of these grants. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark Rebecki from Harbor Springs. I want to first tell you about my disappointment in the commissioners tonight, especially one of them who I'm not going to mention because it's not allowable. But I'm very disappointed in their behavior tonight, very concerned, especially when they attack another commissioner. This shouldn't be allowed, shouldn't be allowable. And I would encourage the rest of you to censure this commissioner and to remove him from the board. Please maintain some degree of respectability and stop this nonsense. I would like to thank you for looking at these grants again, for being fiscally responsible, not being taken by emotion or fun, or I hate to say it, but on the lack of responsibility by these parents. Where are these parents? My parents made sure that I got the health care I needed, and they paid for it. I don't know how, but they did. They didn't rely on the nanny state to take care of them and to fund these things. It's, to me, this is disgusting. It's disgusting and beyond the pale and a waste of taxpayer money. So I thank you, especially Mr. Mapes and Mr. Ginnup, for being on the Board of Health and actually being responsible and watching out for us taxpayers and not being carried away by these skin-deep things that these people want. They don't bother to look at what's behind them. They don't look to bother to see what's going to be required of these grants. They don't look to see what we already have. And again, I say they have taken away the responsibility of the parents. Where are the parents? Where? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you speaking, Joe, or are you
coming? No, I'm just talking.
Okay. Lisa Keene, I am here to update you about not the Planning Committee for the Health Department, but the Programs and Evaluation Committee of the Health Department. Well, the Board of Health, rather. With all due respect, you missed a few things, Commissioner Ginnup. So the meeting started out with someone addressing the committee to say, hey, Health Department Board, while you denied this grant, we found other funding, and thank goodness for the United Way, they picked it up, and now we will have a partnership with farmers, local farmers, and area schools. Yay. Then someone else got up and spoke about how healthcare is not a basic human right. And then the other one, I was listening to this. I listened three times and about went off the road. But it turns out there was a little more to that meeting. There was a breach of fiduciary duty when Jairus Rubin said he wasn't voting for this dental grant because his dentist, again, personal interest, his dentist went to work for the health department, and now he doesn't have anybody to treat his children's mouths. Oh, let's see. There were Henry Mason. He brought up the fact that Bishop Berica, Father Berica, he used his Christianity to help deter people from their drinking and smoking. So maybe what a response would be, I'm going to support this dental grant until Henry Mason brings in the Jesus Brigade, and then we can end it. We don't need this funding anymore. I already mentioned Commissioner Ginnup's contribution was here, that we're here in this 50 minutes. So the opportunity to share why a person would oppose a grant or support it was missed. Oh, gosh. Oh, and in response to this, don't have the health department help people with health issues, have the parents do it. Thank goodness for the former dentist who spoke up about what happens when people don't have insurance. So they go, they use the system, and we pay more as taxpayers. I mean, I know most of you know this. I'm sorry to insult you. And then the money that would have relieved us of having to make these payments goes to somebody else's kids. And that's why I'm so mad.
30 seconds.
These grants aren't going away just because a few people say no, and defunding the health department doesn't make them go away. It just means other people's kids get them. And hopefully that makes you as angry as I am. I don't like being an angry person, but that's what's happening. And the transparency is so obvious. If you didn't see the video that I sent you, prepare for an assault on the ears and eyes, I guess. But you could just listen to it. And it's really appalling. And I agree with Mark. One commissioner needs to go. And I hope you'll be strong enough.
Thank you. Who's next?
Do we have to say our name again? Mary Lieberman, Emmett County. I want to acknowledge that our legal counsel for the county, I believe, is present this evening. Welcome. I hope you've heard all the comments and concerns that our citizens have. I want to ask what you, and I know you can't answer this, but it's more of a general question, as a person who's paid by the taxpayers to advise our commissioners and the other commissioners who don't serve on the health board, it's what are you going to do to protect us from further damage from the actions of Commissioner Ginnup? who readily demonstrates that he is not able to perform his duties on the Board of Health as he continues to let his personal opinions and beliefs stand in the way of fairly representing the needs and desires of the vast majority of his constituency. Additionally to what transpired in that subcommittee meeting, I thought I should at least mention, too, it didn't come out in the report, but the August 1st Board of Health meeting, the subcommittee, the same subcommittee, was to present procedures and guidelines of how they were going to go forward in approving grants. I attended that subcommittee meeting. There was no concerns, there was no objections voiced by anyone. The group that was there, minus Otsego County, whose commissioner was absent, was prepared to present. And instead of that happening, that same group, which Mr. Mapes serves on, and I commend you for all the time you've spent on that, they had the rug pulled out from under them by the commissioner from Antrim County, who promptly presented his own version with some amendments of what he'd like to have happen, even though he was on that committee that day and brought none of those concerns forward. But what made it worse is instead of supporting the recommendations of Commissioner Mapes, Commissioner Ginnup went on to vote against it and to support the, I don't, for lack of better words, the off-the-wall amendments of Commissioner Rubing from Antrim County. I was so upset by it because I had attended that meeting, which Mr. Ginnup had not, and was personally offended for Commissioner Mapes, who had put so much time into that. But that,
30 seconds.
I'll wrap it up. But that incident combined with what's been discussed here this evening, clearly the Board of Health is not an appropriate assignment for Commissioner Ginnup, and I would encourage him as a true leader to step down. And if he can't do that, I encourage the rest of you to do what needs to be done to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, Bill Kelso, Emmett County resident, Redmond Township. I'd just like to state I support the Board of Health, and I'm deeply troubled by Commissioner Ginnup's admission tonight that he will not abide by the June 5th resolution that was passed by this board. As a citizen of Emmett County, I would encourage this Board of Commissioners to replace Representative Ginnup on the board with somebody who will abide by that resolution. I think it's your duty as commissioners that you, when you pass a resolution, if somebody violates the resolution, you should do something about it. If you don't, it doesn't mean anything. So, thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Joe Murphy, Emmett County. This country is founded on people helping each other. They wouldn't have gotten across the ocean to get here if they hadn't been helping each other. This area that we live in, my forefathers up in here were farmers, and they did barn raising. All the neighbors came together to do it. What the health board's job is to continue those types of things, working with our kids, working with the seniors, working with people who need health care, who needs their dental care. That's what the country was founded on. That's what what people brought up here. Native Americans helped each other before we got here. This is just part of this whole area, and it's been being ignored right now at the health department. When money is available from a grant to deal with kids who are smoking, to try to get them with peer pressure to stop, that's what's been going on for 20 years, and the number of people smoking in our society has gone down because it's being started in the schools. Having worked with juveniles and homeless people, I can tell you, kids who can't learn because they have mouth problems end up in our system, the juvenile system, the prison system, and the homeless system. To not accept the application for that grant is criminal in itself, because we are condemning future generations of kids to not be able to be responsible adults, and we are going to pay for it in our tax dollars when kids are in trouble. We're going to pay for in tax dollars because more people are going to smoke when they get older, and that's going to be a problem in the healthcare system. So not even allowing the health department to apply for those grants is costing us in the end. And frankly, as a Democrat, boy, those are great things for Democrats. We're going to have another senator. A new senator is going to be a Democrat, and Biden's going to win again simply because of that type of attitude from Republicans. So those of you who are Republicans, if you continue to support that kind of action at the health department, you're only helping those who you are against.
Thank you. Who's next?
I just wanted to reiterate that Code of Ethics and Conduct, Section 15B, all county commissioners have a responsibility to act when they learn of actions of another county commissioner that appear to be in violation of the Code of Ethics, which has been said would be continue. Upon being notified of reasonable suspicion of a violation of the Code of Ethics, the chairperson shall set, or any three commissioners may require the setting of, a public hearing at a regular or special meeting of the County Board of Commissioners to determine whether a violation of the Code of Ethics occurred, and if so, what sanctions shall be imposed for the violation. I'm sure you all know that, but I just wanted to reiterate one more time. You have a responsibility to act.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Courtney Wilbur. I just wanted to go over social determinants of health because it appears our Board of Health county commissioners have not taken any social determinants of health trainings, which is wild because almost every job I've held has required many hours of that. So I thought we'd really quickly go through the five social determinants of health and what they are. So these are conditions in the environments where people are born, live, learn, work, and play, and age that affect a wide range of health functioning and quality of life, outcome, and risks. These are economic stability, education access and quality, healthcare access and quality, neighborhood and environment, social and community context. These also have major impact on people's health, well-being, and quality of life. We don't have access to dentists up here. If you have recently tried to make an appointment to see a dentist, you know it takes months up here to see a dentist. It takes months to see a doctor. Having preventative care in schools is very important. Also, are we like moving on from attacking children and moving to senior citizens in our community? We need to not touch Bay Bluffs. Have you walked through the villa recently? We're not touching Bay Bluffs. This is absurd. You all are going to end up there. We're not touching it.
Thank you. Who's next? One more time. Anybody else?
Chair, I'd like to offer a sort of a fig leaf here. I really feel compelled to do it because I was going to do it a couple years ago, but I had a health issue and I couldn't do it. Now I can, and I have time and ability to do it, is to offer myself to take on another committee on the Board of Health. Should one of the commissioners here on the board that's on the Board of Health decide that they'd like to give up their position.
I think you'd be an excellent representative on the Board of Health, Neil.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Any other public comment?
My name is Rebecca Otto, and I am a taxpayer and property owner and voter in Littlefield Township. I know that I normally come to you in my United Way role, but I am taking that off and coming to you as a person in your community. I think that there are enough studies out there that we could point to where the cost of living now is not the same as it was in the past. The things that could be easily afforded on one income for a household are just not possible anymore. And so that's what stands in the gap of people Surviving and not surviving is the human services sector, and the health department has played a crucial role in that. There seems to be a lot of comments about personal responsibility as well as government overreach, and I would remind all of you that you are government officials. It seems to only be an issue when we talk about state and federal dollars, but you are government officials as well. And I find it an overreach for you to agree to a code of ethics and agree to a resolution and then act immediately in opposition to that. We talk about parental responsibility. I am the parent of a child. I would be embarrassed to have my daughter here right now, seeing how her representative for the place that she lives and has grown up her entire life completely disregards something that the governing body has agreed to. That's the personal responsibility that I have as a parent to this child, is to teach them when government officials are doing wrong and when they're not. I'm disgusted by the fact that you are still serving on the board, and this is holding someone accountable is not a personal attack. You will be held accountable by the people in this county, and you should be held accountable by every one of the elected government officials that are sitting up here as well, because that will also ripple out into your townships.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Tracy Skinner. I'm a resident of Resort Township, voter in Emmett County, and I'm also a parent and parental responsibility, and ironically, and he's going to hate me for saying this, but my son is here watching what's happening to learn about our local government, because I talk to him often about what I see, and so he's curious what's happening. And I think that it's good for everyone to be exposed to how things are functioning. I have a sign here that said that I would like to have decisions made for the Board of Health using the principles of public health. That's important to me. I'm not sure what the principles that are being used to guide the decisions. In the last Board of Health meeting, I heard the Ten Commandments being used. I heard it referenced in response to sexually transmitted infections and why are we treating partners for sexually transmitted infections when God has proclaimed this to be a man and a woman. And I think there was a definite disregard to Dr. Meyerson's response when he was explaining the cost of untreated public health diseases. And I can understand from the discussion that's very evident that there is a conservative Christian belief system, and that's great. But I think that it's bypassing the public health knowledge that's been accumulated over decades of what are the costs to our community for untreated disease. And rather than pushing moral judgment for what causes that might be and looking at the personal responsibility, the issue is this is a treatment of disease that can create problems for our community, just as the invasive milfoil, you know, can create problems if untreated. These are issues that affect our kids. Untreated dental health creates lifelong problems. I thought surely we could all get on board with dental sealants. How controversial could that be? But apparently I was wrong. And I would like to see us move forward using solid principles based on research, testing, evidence-based services for our public health system. And if that isn't the factor that decides it, I think that you need to consider what your role is and what your agenda is for being on the Board of Health.
Thank you. Anybody else? Having seen nobody, our next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held September 11th, 2023 at 6 o'clock in this boardroom. And let's have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. We are adjourned.
Hey, Chuck.